Welcome back, everyone. Welcome to those online. Hallelujah. Let's stand and start praise and worship together. We are meeting with our King, with the only God. Hallelujah. And we worship him in the name of Jesus this morning. Holy Spirit, have your way in this service. Hallelujah. We praise your name. We just ask that you take over every part of this service. We give it to you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. Yes, Lord. Oh, your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows, the light of fire. Sing verse 2. Hallelujah.
I just wanted to speak the name of Jesus. Till every dark addiction starts to break. Declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Hallelujah.
Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name.
Kadosh, Kadosh, Atah, and Kamocha Adonai.
He began, Kadosh,
Kadosh, Kadosh, Atah, and Kamocha Adonai.
Oh, we see it again, King. Hallelujah. There is no one like you. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you very much. God bless you all and your families. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I have my coat on. I'm a little cold and chilly. Actually, my hands are very cold, but my heart is warm. Hallelujah. Amen. This is a time of prayer. And I got to say, thank God for everyone that came out this morning in this freezing cold. Oh, we are strong Canadians, right? Amen. Today I would like us to turn. We're going to read Psalm 27, verses 1 to 14. And if they would turn it up on the monitor, I would really appreciate that. And I like to teach. I like to teach and study the Bible. Psalm 27, King David. The first 1 to 7 verses is about his confidence in God. And then from there on, it's a prayer. And I just want to praise everyone. They go home today and read this psalm and study it. Ask what it really means to you and what is David saying. That's how I study the Word of God. I always say, what does this mean to me? How am I supposed to do what this says to do? Anyway, let's all pray to stand and let's all pray together. Heavenly Father, I just want to praise you and thank you for this day. It is a day you made for us to rejoice and be glad in it. And I beseech thee, Almighty God, send your prosperity to each and every one standing here and those that are not here today and those that are online. Bless them, Father, as we read your word today. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Think about that. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Next verse. When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. And this King David, now if you understand King David, you'll know what he's talking about here. And this is pertaining to us as well. Oops. I'm not good at this monitor thing. Verse 4. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war shall rise up against me, in this I will be confident. As you see, David is very confident in the Lord. He doesn't sway back and forth. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for each and every one of them here that's heart is fixed on God and they're confident in what he says pertaining to them. Verse 4, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Praise the Lord. That's a great one to think about. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle. Shall he hide me? He shall set me upon a rock. Praise the Lord. We are all set upon a rock. The Lord hides us from our enemies and our foes. We can be assured that he will hide us and we will be placed on a rock, on the rock Christ Jesus. And now shall my heart be lifted up above my enemies, round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. Joy. I will sing, yeah, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Praise the Lord. We come here to sing praises to the Lord. And you know that the strength, joy is our strength. Joy in the Lord. Oh, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. That's why we pray. We pray out with our voice. He said, open our mouth and he will fill it, right? So we pray and he answers us. Verse 7, that's it. Now verse 8, here's where it switches over to where David is praying to God. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said, unto thee thy face, Lord, I will seek. Praise the Lord. I pray that everyone in this room and those listening to us will seek the face of the Lord in the name of Jesus. Okay. 9, hide not thy face far from me, but Put not thy servant away in anger. Hallelujah. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O Lord of my salvation. 9. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Now, this means David is saying that the Lord's love is far above your mother and your father at all times. God's love is ultimate. When my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. He will take care of you. He will love you beyond what you can imagine or think, and he will meet all your needs. In number 11, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. God will direct our path all the time in the path of righteousness. We will always succeed and our enemies will fail. Deliver me not over unto the will of my enemies, for false witness have risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. Praise the Lord. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Here's where he puts his belief. He believes. He doesn't waver. He sees what God is doing in the land of the living. Praise God. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Amen. That is the word of the Lord, that the Lord led me to pray for you today, for all of us to go home and pray. Psalms are full of beautiful, beautiful prayers. I have studied the songs for many years, and each and every one of them says something to me personally. Anyway, Father God, I just praise you for the day. Thank you, Father. We just lift up every person in this room and those that are listening, Father God Almighty. I ask that your mighty hand be upon them, that they will be strengthened in their inner man in everything they do, that they will have good success, Almighty God, in their coming in and going out. Bless them and their household, Father God Almighty, according to your word. They are blessed, blessed and highly favored of you, Father, by God and mankind. And Father God, I just pray for all the countries around this world. I pray especially for Jerusalem. Father God, in your word you said, pray for Jerusalem. We pray for Israel. We thank you, your favor is upon Israel, that you surround Israel like your favor surrounds a mountain. You surround Israel. No enemy will ever conquer Israel. Your mighty hand is upon it at all times. I thank you for righteous leaders in these lands, Almighty God, so that the people will live in peace. I thank you. I use Israel as a point of contact for Canada, Nigeria, United States of America, all First Nations of the world, Almighty God. I thank you that anyone that's crying out to Jesus is answered. Your Holy Spirit is there to answer them, Father God. I praise you and thank you for salvation of these countries. Father God, that is your heart's desire, souls into your kingdom. And at this time, I just pray for all the ministries. I pray for our pastors, Mike and Maria Faisino. And I thank you, Father, that you call them to go out into the mission field and bring in souls into your kingdom. Bless their father. Bless them going in and coming out. Bless the hands. Bless their hands and everything they lay upon. Their hands are blessed. Father God, I thank you that you have angels watching over them wherever they go, preparing a way for them, that they go and it goes smoothly, like a smooth path, and bring and snatch those souls out of hell and into the kingdom of God. I thank you for their lives and their family. Thank you, mighty God, that they are truthful, they're faithful, they're full of the Holy Ghost. And Father, they're righteous people. And I thank you for their lives. Bless them openly, Father. Let the world see that they are blessed and that your light shines inside them. And in everyone that's listening to my voice that has made Jesus Christ their Lord, the love and the light of the Lord is in them. The word is in them. And I thank you for their salvations. I thank you for their life, Almighty God. Be glorified this day, Father God. Take glory in every one of us. Thank you, Father God, for the men and women that work in this church, the leaders, Almighty God. Thank you. They are blessed. They have wisdom from above, wisdom to do everything set before them, Almighty God. Thank you that they are blessed openly, Father, that they see the blessing of the Lord working in their lives and their families. I thank you for that, oh, Father God. Be glorified in this day, Father God. Thank you for the day. Thank you for giving us life and life more abundantly. In Jesus' mighty name I've prayed. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.
Lift up thine eyes round about and see. Don't just look, see. The eyes we have is what we see with. But really, you see with your mind. So we can both be looking at something. One person sees something and the other person sees something else. We can look at a glass of water and one person sees a half full and another person sees a half full. You and I need to see life through the eyes of Christ. And when we see life from that perspective, we don't see pain, defeat, shame, confusion, and problems. We just see opportunities, stepping stones. We see avenues for victory. And I declare in the mighty name of Jesus that that will be the story of your life in 2026, victoriously empowered to succeed in every area. I don't know whether we consider it much. Why are we Christians? Why are we in church? Why do we serve God? Is this just something that we do? Is there purpose behind it? Well, there are people that go to different temples. The Hindus that go to their temple. The Muslims that go to their temple. There are Buddhists that go to their temple. All of these people pray. What makes us different? What makes what we do more meaningful? You know, interesting enough, when it comes to commitment, the Hindus are more committed than Christians. We're so casual with our faith. The Buddhist, the Muslim. So we must ask ourselves this question. Why are we doing what we're doing? The Hindus, the Buddhists, the Muslim, they give extravagantly. What we say, our God is the real God. But so many times we don't act like it. So we must ask ourselves, why is that so? Because ultimately, our connection to the God we believe determines our stability. Until you and I are resolute about what we believe and why we believe it, and know beyond a shadow of a doubt, beyond believing, knowing, we remain suspect. And whatever it is that we do is so temporal. The believer The one who knows God has to look beyond this natural and has to put God in a place of priority. If his life or her life is going to be impacted sovereignly by the power of God, and if he or she is able to impact the next generation. Every day, you and I teach something. Not just by our sayings, but by our actions. Yeah? By our actions. For example, if by my actions and by the importance I place on the things of God, I display a disparity between what I am saying I believe by the actions I take, those around me will not go by what I say, they'll go by my actions. Yes? We can accept that? So, if I say God is number one, God is the ultimate. He is number one in my life. And my children see me acting in a way that is not displaying that. Because every other thing comes before God. Then it's not what I said. It's how I'm acting. We will accept that. If I am able to get to my job promptly, and it's time to go to school, and we're prompt about that, and it's time to get to whatever, and we're prompt about that, but when it comes to the house of God, we are not prompt. My display by my action is the job is more important. School is more important, but God, not so much. Will we accept that? Is that true? We agree? So, actions. More than words. You say, Pastor, where are you going today? I am coming to one particular point that I believe the Lord wants me to hone in on. While words are important, and words can be actions too, most of our repentance, and this is a time to repent and reflect, is a reflection on the actions I'm taking. I need to reflect, go back to my actions and say, okay, this that I do, in what way is it declaring that God is more important, that the kingdom of God is more important than this world? Because if I reflect on that, it is going to reflect, it's going to be reflected and manifested in every single detail of my life. And in those areas where it's not lining up, that's the area that God wants me to zero in and say, you spirit of darkness, you are not going to have reign in my life. Get out of here. I am going to push on this word of God until this particular area of my life is corrected. And I'm displaying the importance of God in this area, that He is sovereign and He reigns supremely in my life. Now, you may be strong in one area and be totally off in another area. We're not talking about the areas where you're doing okay. We're talking about those areas where you're not in line in the displaying of the will of God in your life. Are we together so far? We just celebrated the Feast of Trumpets of Rosh Hashanah, the God's New Year. And between that time and the next feast of Yom Kippur, and you may put the poster of Yom Kippur on the screen. Are 10 days, 10 days of awe, the 10 days of reflecting on who God is in our lives and who we are in relationship with God. They are the 10 days of repentance. Now, there are preachers out there that preach that Christians don't have anything to repent about. They're filled with lies. We have to repent because God has commanded us to walk in holiness before Him, separated unto Him, not just for our benefit. The Word of God says in the book of Hebrews, it says, so that we can help those that are lame, those that are restricted, those that are not operating in the fullness of what God has available for them. So in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, we read these words. Hebrews 12. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. There is a race set before every one of us. And every one of us need to run our race. Stop looking at other people. You need to focus on yourself. So many people are busy focused on what other people are doing. This person is doing right or doing wrong, and so on and so forth. God wants you to focus on yourself. You've got a race. If you are running and you're busy looking at the other person and this person over here, you're going to lose the race. God has not called us to lose. He's called us to win. Hallelujah. But it says, there are witnesses, there are people in the bleachers, those that have died and gone, that are in the presence of the Lord. They are cheering us on. They're saying, go for it, go for it, go for it, go for it. And these witnesses are there. And they're saying, since we've got these witnesses, let's lay aside every weight. When I go to the doctor's office for a checkup, I make sure my keys and everything is off because I want the real weight. Hallelujah. It says, lay aside every weight. You can't run this race of God attached to so many things. In so many ways, we are attached to stuff. Things are so important. And so that's our focus. Whether the weight is friends, relationships, the job, the what, whatever it is that's consuming my attention so that Christ is no longer number one. Just put that aside. And put aside the sin which doth so easily beset us. Some things that you trip over and over and over again. It says deal with that too. And then run with patience. Run with patience the race that is set before you. How? It says looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. It says, I want you to hone in on Jesus. Just look at him. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. He's your example. For he's the one, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. So what's the word of God saying to us? He's saying, hey, you're a believer, there are going to be hard times. There are going to be tough times. There are going to be times of sacrifice. Challenging times. He says, Jesus looked. He endured the shame of the cross, the pain of the cross. He despised the shame. And because he did that, he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He says, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. He says, if you don't focus on Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith, who endured the shame and the cross and all of that, he says, if you don't do that, you are going to get weary and you're going to faint. He says, in your mind. Children of God fail because they've not put Jesus as the focus of their lives. We fall apart because the battles that we face are battles that attack the mind. I and you, every one of us, nobody is exempt. Need to reflect on who Jesus is, what he means to you, and recognize that this life is temporal. This is temporal. This is not it. And my highest effort and energy needs to be on how I continue with God. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and every other thing shall be added unto you. Whatever it is that I'm pursuing after, it's going to be added. The finances, the houses, the cars, the shelter, the food, all of that is going to be added. But I need to first and foremost have in the centrality of my life, in the core of my being, a focus on Jesus and the kingdom of God. Any other thing is a waste of time. For what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? So what are we repenting about? We're repenting about the fact that many times we have placed God in the back seat and sometimes way back in the caboose. And we need to come back and reflect and say, wait a minute. Is this what God is calling me to do? Is this it? As we are growing gracefully in age in God. Hallelujah. I have begun to see more often people that I know died. The question I ask myself is, in your death, where was Christ? I know what I see on the surface, but really in your heart, as he sees you, what does he see? What does God see? Primary, what God wants to see is where in importance am I? What is the first commandment? You don't know? You know, all of the 10 is boiled down to 2. You're going to love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, your mind, your strength, and all of that. Yeah? And the second is like the first. But when God gave the commandments in the very beginning, in the book of Exodus, what did he say? You shall what? Have no other gods before me. If you have any other god before him, then you love that more than you love him. He says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now what's that? It means, number one, have a God before him that you follow. But it also means that you don't show any other God in front of him. Don't place another God before me. For there are no gods. They don't compare with me. But why do I make my finances and the pursuit of it more important than God? So I do that. Yeah, we do that in all kinds of ways. Especially when we do not honor God first when it comes to giving. We honor the city, pay our bills. You honor hydro, you honor your car payment, you honor your clothing, your looks, whatever it is that you spend your money on. And then God comes around way back somewhere. If I have something left, then God, you can have some of it. You can have the change. Huh? That's not prioritizing God. Prioritizing God says, I start with God before anything else. When I go and I make a deposit, I make certain, very consciously, before any dime leaves here, I'm going to take God's and set it aside. Then we can talk about the rest. And if the rest is not enough, then God, you said that you will meet all of my needs according to your riches in glory, so I need a breakthrough here. So when I go out there and something's supposed to cost $100, you can give it to me for $50. Praise the Lord. When I put the gas in the gas tank, it's supposed to take me 100 kilometers, but it took me 200 kilometers. So I'm not frequenting the gas station. I'm not frequenting the mechanic. I'm not frequenting this has to be fixed over here, and that has to be fixed over here, because I've placed God first. Now God can rebuke the devourer for my sake. Is that making sense to somebody? Prioritizing God saves me from being weary and fainting, overwhelmed. It brings me to the place where I'm reminded that I'm in a covenant relationship with God. God has cut a covenant. He knows that in my own strength and my own ability, I cannot fulfill and do the things that I really would like to do. So he comes and he abides in me to help me. He redeems me to infuse me with his power and his capacity. When we started the Rosh Hashanah meetings, our main text came from Psalm 119, verse 49. I'll encourage you to read as much of that chapter as you can. It's the longest chapter in the Word of God in the Bible. So it will take you some time. But this is what the Word of God says. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. You said, if I seek first your kingdom, every other thing shall be added unto me. And when I find myself in a place where it looks like it's not all added unto me, I can come back and say, remember your word to me. I'm in covenant relationship with you. Remember your word to me. I'm your servant. I'm your son. I'm your child, oh God. Remember your word with which you have caused me to stay in hope. And your word, oh God, says, my hope shall not be disappointed. God, I come to you. Remember your word. Father, remember your word. This is what you said to me. In Psalm 105, when I have a repentant heart before God and in his indwelling and helping, Psalm 105 says, starting to read from verse 8. He says, he hath remembered his covenant forever. God doesn't forget. He says, remembered his covenant. The word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. To 1,000 generations. The commanded word. His covenant. He remembers it. He made a covenant with Abraham. And he had an oath unto Isaac. Why is that? The God who remembers the covenant he made with Abraham. Made an oath unto Isaac. See what I said to your father? I'm telling you, I'm going to do it. I swear to you, it's going to happen. He says, he goes on, he says, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law. He goes on to Jacob, the next generation, he says, it's a law. He says, unto Israel, who is also Jacob, for an everlasting covenant. The same covenant he made to Abraham, he made on. And that same everlasting covenant is so great that when Jesus, our Lord, came, he did not come with another different covenant. He attached us to the covenant he made with Abraham. He says, this is such a good deal, I can't even top it. Oh my God! Because the full essence of myself was in that covenant. He asked Abraham for the covenant. He's going to cut a covenant with Abraham and split this animal in two. Naturally, those two that are making the covenant were to walk in between those parted animals. And by so doing, we're saying, listen, if I don't keep this covenant, see, like these animals are dead here, you're dead meat. So, God, when it's time to cut that covenant, he puts Abraham to sleep. And he goes in between those animals by himself. And he was saying, I tell you what, I'm keeping this covenant for me and for you. If I don't do this part that I said I'm going to do, woe to me. The woe that is supposed to be on you, I take. And I'm promising you, I'm going to give you the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance, everything that belongs to you, I'm bringing to you. I am the God of covenant. I remember this covenant for 1,000 generations, and there's nothing that's going to stop my will from being performed in your life. But the thing about God is this, he cannot force you against your will. The only thing he wants on your part is to show you the dream of his promise. Because when he put Abraham to sleep, Abraham saw darkness, and God told him that the people of Israel were going to be out there in exile, enslaved for 400 years. But they're going to come out of it. They're going to come out of it. You're going to have tough times, but you're going to come out of it because my promise is going to be fulfilled. There's going to be a fulfillment of my word, and then I'm going to bring you back to this land. I promise you, your lot of inheritance is yours. I'm going to raise you up. Hallelujah. And he made this promise to them, the Bible says, when they were but a few men in number. Yea, very few, and strangers in it. So he made a promise. God's promise to you and I is not based on all the strength that we've got. It's based on all the strength that he has. He said, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell, the government of hell, will not prevail over this church. And the people he was speaking to were going to deny him when he went to the cross. Twelve of them, one betrayed him. They all ran every which way. The only one that hung around John was a family member with the people that were busy operating and trying to kill Jesus. Did he fulfill his word? Today you and I are here. Few they might have been. He preached one message and thousands leave him. And he says to the 12, what are you guys still doing here? And why aren't you guys gone? He said, where are we going to go? You've got the words of life. You're it. Where are we going to go? Okay. God has not given us the spirit of fear, as Mama shared with us a moment ago, but a spirit of love, power, and a sound, mature, disciplined mind. You may be wondering, Pastor, where are we going with this? You first of all told us about repentance, and then you're telling us about God is a covenant-keeping God, and that he goes through the split animal all by himself, and God is relying on himself, not on me. So what am I repenting about? Repenting in this wise. Repentance is not about just turning away from our wicked ways. Repentance is also about replatforming us. This makes more sense in our English language. You know what a penthouse is? It is the top of the building. Yes? To repent is to bring you back to the highest level. So, what highest level? The mind of Christ. Repentance is about coming to the place where we have the mind of Christ. A mind that does not embrace failure, does not think failure, does not think quitting, does not prioritize anything else, but the mind that seeks to serve the Father, to worship God in spirit and in truth. The Word of God says that's the person that the Spirit of God seeks after. Praise God. God wants to locate you and I and help us fulfill our divine mandate. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There's so much more to talk about in Psalm 105, but let me go to Leviticus 26 and verse 40. Leviticus 26 and verse 40. In Leviticus 26, 40, it says, if they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their trespass, which they trespass against me, and that also they have walked contrary unto me, and that I also have walked contrary unto them, and have brought them unto the land of their enemies, if then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled, and they then accept the punishment of their iniquity, then will I remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham, will I remember, and I will remember the land. What land? He was talking about Canaan. He said, I'm going to give you the promised land. He says, but this is also truth. You have to repent. Hello? You have to repent for your sins and the sins of your fathers. He says, and then I'm going to remember. It's not that he forgot. He says, then I'm going to pay attention and manifest. That's what he's talking about. And God wants to tabernacle with us, his people. He wants to do something new, something fresh. He wants to bring us to an experience where we are experiencing his Sabbaths. We may find ourselves sometimes as believers in a very tight spot. Paul says, the things that I want to do, I'm not doing. And the things I don't want to do, I'm busy doing. Who's going to deliver me from all of this miserable life? That's in Romans 7. He's bemoaning his experience, the struggles that he's going through. And then he comes to chapter 8, because in chapter 7, all he was talking about was I. But then comes to chapter 8 and says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We walk after the Word of God. And in chapter 8, all he talks about is about the Spirit. And says, there's a Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. And that Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. In other words, God is saying, I'm giving you the capacity by my Spirit to live victoriously. We can live the Christian life based on God's ability working in us and through us. And how do we live it? By just simply obeying, following the instruction, taking it one step at a time. God, in this area, I'm not giving you priority. I'm going to try. I want to do that. Holy Spirit, help me. And you try. And you do it today. And then you do it tomorrow. You're beginning to change directions. Or maybe you trip. You get back up and say, that's not what I'm doing. I'm going to do it this way. I'm putting God number one. 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 In my finances, God number one. In my studies, my prayer time, as I study day, God number one, God number one, God number one. It's a challenge. As simple as something like my cell phone or your cell phone can be the challenge, because most people, the first thing they do in the morning, most people, the first thing they do in the morning is not, thank you, Jesus, for a new day. First thing they do is they grab their phone. You don't. It's far away from you. That's the best way to do it. But if it's close to you, that's the first place most people go to. What's the news? What happened that night when I was sleeping? Who died? Who got shot? What did Trump do today? What are the Democrats doing today? What did Connie say today? And our attention is drawn away from God. But God says, I'm going to give you the capacity to correct that. I'm going to give you the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding to correct what you need to correct so that I'm one, number one in your life. Your day starts with me. It ends with me. My peace garrisons your heart. It's time to reflect, folks, so we can repent. You know what area of your life needs to be examined. So you can cry out to God and say, God, I need help. In Isaiah 49, the word of God says, shall the prey be taken from the mighty? I was speaking somewhere last night, leading in prayer. And this particular passage was burning in my spirit. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty? The mighty being the enemy, the prey being you and I, or whoever. It says, is it possible to take the prey from the mighty one? Is it possible to deliver the one that's a lawful captive? You've done wrong, you're found guilty. God knows it, the devil knows it, and you know it. That your goose is cooked. Can you be delivered? You walked into this mess with your eyes wide open. He said, can you still be delivered? But thus said the Lord, even those that have been captured physically, emotionally, spiritually, captured, captives of the mighty shall be taken away. This is the commitment of God. The enemy shall not have you, shall not have me. He says, I'm going to take away those lawful captives. And the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee. I'm going to fight against that which is fighting against you. That thing that is limiting you, that is saying to you, you are not going to make it. He says, I'm telling that thing to shut up because you don't belong to them. You belong to me. I'm going to take you out of this place of imprisonment. That is the hope that we rely on, that God will do extraordinary things with our lives and turn our lives around for his glory and honor. I went to hell with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not going to hell anymore. I am going up higher in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. The deliverance of God is established in my life. He has made me the victor and not the victim. He says, I'm going to contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. I said, Lord, what is this about? I will save thy children. He said, because the sin of the fathers flow down as iniquity into the lives of their children. The mess up of the fathers flow down. He says, I'm not only going to save you, I'm going to save your children that have been messed up by your actions. Today I pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that whatever it is that my father did that was wrong, that has held me in captivity, that I'm free from it, he is free from it, and my children are free from it. We are all free indeed, for the truth of God has set us free. Jesus Christ, our loving God, has walked between the sacrifice all by himself, and he's burning through it as a consuming fire, and he's burning away every limitation from our lives. You and you and you and you and you and your children shall be saved. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Not one of my children shall be lost. None of your children shall be lost. None of my children's children shall be lost. None of my children's children shall be lost. Everybody's covered. Hallelujah. But it starts with me walking in obedience with God. He says, you need to do that. He says, I'm going to chastise you because you're a son and not a bastard. I'm going to chastise you. I'm going to work on you and bring you into the exercise of faith so that you walk in righteousness and holiness, so that those that are lame, crippled, because no lame one is supposed to come anywhere near me. He says, but because of you, you'll have the strength to deliver the lame. Hallelujah. Rise with me. Say, Lord, I repent. I repent. Help me to experience supernatural change and to place you in the highest place in my life. Today, Lord, I pull upon your word. Let your word, O God, sanctify my life. Bring about supernatural change. Lord, help me to be strong in you, O Lord, and in the power of your might. Father, use me, O God, by your grace, that I may be a vessel of honor that will bring transformation into the lives of others. Heal me of my lameness so I can bring healing to those that are lame. Bless me to make me a blessing. I place my trust in you, my Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, putting God first. That really spoke to me. Getting up in the morning, and what's the first thing that you look at? I know in my life I need to change that thing. Putting God first in every part of my life, in my giving, in the words that I speak, in my focus. Is my focus on myself, or is on my focus on other people, or is my focus on God? What are my priorities? I just want to go through some verses. My position here right now is to just lead us in giving our tithes and our offerings. But let's go through Psalm 16. Just from the very beginning, I'll just read it quickly. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer. nor take up their names in my lips. And I'll just stop there for a second. Those that hasten after another god and their drink offerings of blood will I not offer. So they're offering drink offerings to this other god. And this is showing that even people that aren't serving God, they give offerings to the god that they serve. But we should be giving to God for all the things that that God has given us, all the blessings that He's given us. We are breathing, we are alive, we have friendships, we have a church, we have a city that we live in, we have houses, we have warmth, all of these things, sunshine, just so many blessings that God has given us. And in serving God, we need to put Him first, as Apostle was saying, but there is from our own resources, we need to give to Him. Let's just go on. The Lord is a portion of my inheritance, and of my cup thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen upon me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me, because He is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Also, I want to go to to Psalm 116. Verse 12 to 14 says, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me?" So, talking about benefits and all that He's given us, one of the first things that God wants us to give Him and take advantage of Him is to take the salvation that He has offered. Verse 13 says, "I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people." So take the salvation. If you haven't received Christ, take the salvation. All the benefits that the Lord has given us, that's the first thing that we need to do. That would be the first giving to God, is by taking His salvation and coming into the family of God. So let's give of our tithes and offerings now, and let's do it with a joyful heart and joy, just rejoicing. Amen. Oh, sorry, and this is Mission Sunday, so let's remember to give missions as well. And then Pastor Paul and Sister Pat will come and do communion.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Let us praise the Lord. Everything that we do, we need to praise the Lord with. Today we come, if you don't have your elements for communion, just raise your hand. Somebody's going to come to you and give it to you. Just raise your hand. It's so important for us to serve the Lord seriously, in a very serious manner, in everything that we do. Not just, okay, I come to church, but outside of the church as well. In the church, we serve one another. In the church, we praise the Lord. In the church, we do things differently than we do outside of the church. We sit in the pew and we listen and we absorb what the pastor preaches. And today, whatever you've absorbed when he was preaching, you need to take it and use it during the week and also throughout your whole entire life. It's not just you hear it, goes in one ear, out the other. Jesus said many times, if you have an ear, if you have ears, hear. It's not just in and out. It's in and it stays in. Today, Patricia, my wife, Pastor Pat, she's going to pray for the bread. And I want to keep on. I want to talk about the blood as well. She will do the bread portion. Thank God for everything.
I just, listening to Pastor Zeno's message, the precious blood of Jesus. As Jesus sat with his disciples, he started talking to them about his death and taking bread and breaking it and of the blood of Christ. You see the oneness in God the Father and Jesus, and he wants us to be that way with him, to purify our acquaintances with the Lord and be at peace. We thank you for what he's done. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Therefore, we'll glorify God in body and in spirit. And we thank you, Father God, as Jesus went to the cross. Well, before he went to the cross, he said to his disciples, he said, take and eat. This is my broken body. I'm not sure if the disciples even knew what he meant, but they agreed with him and became one, and they did as he asked. Take and eat of the body of Christ. We do this in remembrance of God and Jesus.
The blood of Jesus is so important, very, very important. The Word of God says that by the blood, it's in Revelations, forget the verse, but by his blood, they conquered him. He's talking about Satan himself. By his blood, but by the word of your testimony, that conquered him too. The blood is so important. Even in your life right now, if your blood is not right, you're sick and potentially dead. Potentially aiming, your life is going to end. Your blood has to be good. Your blood has to be perfect for you to live a perfect life. Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, he bled, he died, he probably did shed his whole entire blood out of his body. That's how much blood came out of him. He died, but he was God in person, in people, in a person. He had a personality like you and I. But his blood was from above. It was from heaven because he was half man and half God. His blood is what cleanses your sins. His blood is what cleanses everything about your body, but you need to walk and use the blood of Jesus Christ. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. So the blood is so important to us that we cannot overlook, because that is what gives us life. If you have Jesus in you, the blood of Jesus is in you. Is it in you for a purpose? Yes, it is. God's given you a purpose. He's given you the power to overcome. Overcoming Satan, overcoming sickness, overcoming addictions, overcoming drunkenness, overcoming drugs, overcoming smoking, overcoming any evil thing that comes against us. And today we use the blood to overcome. My younger days, when I was backslidden, I was backslidden for about 15 years. Thank God he brought me back. But drinking was one of my things that I like to do. And in that sense, I use that as a joke nowadays. I used to be a toilet worshiper, because I drank too much, and then I had to bow down in front of the toilet, give my food offering. It's a bit of a joke, but there's a reality to it. And today, I don't do that anymore. We have conquered. I have conquered drinking. I have conquered smoking. I have conquered many other things that used to control me. And today, I live for Jesus and Jesus alone. By his blood, I was changed. I am healed of everything that God or the devil had for me. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and we do not allow that to happen. In Jesus' name, take in remembrance of what Jesus did for us on the cross. His blood is powerful. His blood will change you. In the name of Jesus, amen. I want to thank God for everyone that came today. And I believe we have a few people that are brand new here in this church. I want to welcome everyone that is new. I want to say hi to everyone that's online as well, whether you're on YouTube or on any other platform. I thank God that you've joined us on Zoom. We have Zoom if you ever have to or want to go on to watch on your